You're listening to The Kylo Show, the podcast where we talk about how to keep your love on no matter what and why whole healthy families are going to save the world. And it starts right now.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to The Kylo Show. We are finishing out the Imperfect Parenting series.
We just keep coming back.
I know. Wait. I mean, it's fun having a series because we get to talk about something for...
Seriously.
Yeah. That's it. But it's been a unique one because it's about my book, which is...
Super fun.
It's fun. Still weird. I don't know. I've never been an author before. This is my first time. So I don't... But I thought about how you write the book and then you... are thinking about the book, and then when it comes time to talk about the book, you're like, I want to tell you all about the book, but I can't tell you all about the book. I got to just tell you quickly about the book. That's hard for me.
Yeah.
It's like learn skill. I've got to...
That's what leads you to a series. Yeah.
I was talking to Leah, who used to work here, because she's been with us when a couple of your books came out, and the last one was Unpunishable, and I said, I still don't know how to quickly, concisely... communicate why you need my book. And I think it's a process. She goes, do you know how long it took us to figure out how to say Unpunishable and all of them? I'm like, yeah, okay. So it was just a good reminder that it's just a kind of a process.
It's just get it done, get it out there.
And then
we'll worry about all that other stuff later.
A year or two from now, I know how to say this.
Yeah.
Same with Keep Your Love On. I mean, it was such an impactful book. How do you not talk about all the pieces of it? But
That's what subtitles are for, right? So connection over perfection is the essence of what you're doing there.
Yeah.
And
coming back to that over and over
connection, again. Communication, boundaries is, you know, pretty much how other podcasters would describe Keep Your Love On. That's we delve into those sections.
Totally.
Ending our love affair with punishment.
Right.
You know,
it's the beauty of subtitles.
Yes. Establishing a culture of honor.
They're more valuable than we let on, I guess.
Well, if they work, you know, I guess you could do a poor job, but
it's true.
Yeah,
that's funny.
That should work.
Yes. So this is the last and final wrapping up, we're kind of going back to we haven't done questions in a while, which we'll do those in this podcast today. We've steered away from that. So we brought it back for you just to end some parenting questions, but yeah.
Seems appropriate.
It does. Feels like it's probably a good move.
Mm-hmm.
But I actually, my last chapter in the book is, I mean, they're all really good and they're all needed.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the first and last chapter introduces this concept of really the battle that we've been on, the war of connection, in our homes, and, you know, what's trying to steal it, distract us, and, discourage us, really.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the first chapter, is just kind of laying that out. Like, I don't know if you've paid attention. I got a lot of, clients that came to me in 2020, because I think all of a sudden it was on everybody's front porch, where before it was, if you were on fire, it was, you noticed it. But 2020 brought out the, oh, and then it just kind of has snowballed since there, our awareness to the things that have been coming after that. So in that first chapter, kind of, I introduce this concept quite a bit, and then really elaborate on a standard of what we're fighting for in our home and what you want to create, and choosing that connection over the perfection in all those areas. But the last chapter for me is, I think my heart is to inspire hope of how qualified you are as a parent to do this in the throes of how crazy the world is and how, easy it is to get discouraged by all the things that are going on, and I don't know, put down your sword, but I definitely was in my war closet in the best way when writing this book. I remember Allison, who we love, couldn't do this without her. She's like, I need you to go and figure it out because we were on a time crunch. And I was playing worship music and just had my AirPods in so that I couldn't hear myself singing. And just went to the whiteboard and my computer. And later on, after I had finished, I was only in there for a couple hours, which was the other crazy part for me, was it felt like it came out really fast. But I saw Lincoln and he says, what were you doing in there in your room? I said, oh, I was working on my book. He goes, you were singing. I said, well, I was praising Jesus while I was working on my
book. It's a songbook. Yeah.
Yeah. Salty songbook. No. And he said, oh, he's like, well, I could hear you. I said, well, I think I want everybody to hear me with this one.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just kind of a fun moment. He was just like, I said, I'm done though. I think I'm done. He then gave me a big hug and said, good job, Mom.
Yeah. And probably the thing that parents tend to forget in the midst of parenting is that essentially what you have is two chief jobs. One is do a good job with your life, please.
Please
do a good job with your life. You know, control you.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, have a vision, build skills and a value for learning and growth and, you know, evolve as a human. Do a good job with that, please. And convince your child that they are lovable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that you really love them. That there's just nothing that you wouldn't do to send the message that you love them. If you can nail those two things, if you could just zero in on do a good job with you and do a good job loving your kid, you got it. You nailed it. There's nothing left to do. All the rest of it just kind of washes down the street. Do a good job with those two things.
Yeah, it is. I think those are that self-awareness piece, growth-minded, has always been a huge value for both Ben and I. And that's been the turning of the tides for us, is us figuring us out individually. Because, not growing together can create quite a bit of a mess.
Yeah, or one of you grows. It's like having a leg shorter than the other. You know, it doesn't just affect the way you walk. It messes up your back, and then it just hurts like crazy. And then you got to live in the agony of the pain. And yeah, so it's really smart if each leg grows.
Yes, each leg grows. I do, and all the things that we've talked about, I mean, having you and Mom and Ben on in the beginning, kind of just talking about the design for family, you know, you guys have really fought for something to give, I'll speak for me and my brothers, to give us a different option, to give us a different starting place than you were given. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I have no grid for, I mean, when we were pastors in Weaverville, maybe we had a tighter budget than we ever had, but there's nothing close to, I think, what you were growing up with, or that having a parent that was absent. I mean, you guys were at everything that you could possibly be at, and I think we've always felt your strength. Sure, you had those confused years of however long it was, 10 years, 12 years, 15 years, but I mean, you've absolutely worked it out, which has given, I think, me in bringing to my marriage the hope that, you know, Ben and I can always figure it out.
Mm-hmm.
Despite how incredibly different we are. We were just in a text thread this morning, and it's about a class that we're leading. Someone wants to come in late, it's halfway through, and the lady that's helping facilitate it said, should we let him in? And like clockwork, Ben responds right before I do. And it's the complete opposite of what I'm saying. And I just think it's funny because that used to drive me crazy, but it doesn't anymore, you know?
Well, yeah, we know Ben's an includer. You're a relator. And that's enough said. Once you understand those two things right there, bam.
And I said, here's a classic display of Ben and Brittany for you in text, Jamie. And she was laughing. And I went to found Ben. I'm like, what is it that you need? You know, the ability to, I think that just gives a good example of how parenting always went too, is every single opportunity, we pretty much always have a different viewpoint. And our ability to meet each other's needs and ability to prioritize our own connection, I think that has given us a fighting chance so much too, is that united front as parents and in a marriage, which is pretty crucial. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's back to doing a good job with you. I mean, that is not someone else's job. It's not something someone can make you do. Mm-hmm. It's really, you know, it's a commitment that you make as an adult.
You know? Sure.
And then when you teach it to your children absorb it. You know, mm-hmm. It becomes a part of who they want to be. They want to be mature. They want to be responsible. They want to be influential. They want to see their dreams come to pass. They want to, they want to make an impact on their time that they were in the world. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, that momentum picks up with each generation. So, I mean, if you can do a great job with your life, mm-hmm. your kids have this example to look at, like, oh, that's what well put together adults look like. Awesome. Yeah. And if they get off the trail, you know, if they know it. They mm-hmm. know when they're off the trail. They know they're like, I'm doing a terrible job with my life. I'm doing, you know, I could do so much better than I'm doing. Mm-hmm. And there's something inside of them that leads them back to the path. And then they you know, and that's a gift that you give to your child, is here's what doing a good job looks like. When you're handed, here's what it looks like to stay out of jail, you know. Sure. And then you're like, okay, well, I know how to stay out of jail. Mm-hmm. I hope, you know, and then yeah. Maybe I can stay out from going back again. And it's just, you know, it's just not the best you can do. So it's so important that you do a good job with you. Mm-hmm. It's so important that you learn to control yourself, mm-hmm. that you learn to tell yourself what to do, that you set up some targets out there and you aim for them. Mm-hmm. And you hold yourself accountable and or build a community around you that will help hold you accountable, and surround yourself with people that want to do a good job.
Yeah. And that's so much of the vision piece in creating a family, is that I've got to have something so big that I'm chasing after that I want so badly that I'm going to keep myself accountable. Mm-hmm. I'm going to draw a line in the sand and say, okay, this is who we are. This is what we're fighting for. This is what I'm going to manage. This is my job. That's probably one of the hard things for parents, is I don't know that they have that clarity around what it is that they want to create. Mm-hmm. And so it's easy to fall back into the trap of defaulting with what they were given, or defaulting to what they said they're never going to do again. And here we are in this continued cycle of, oh, I'm not fighting for my family. I'm not creating the culture that I want. I'm not being the example. So it's got to be something so big that requires the Lord in it. And mm-hmm. it has to be something so big that I'm hopefully intimidated by it. Mm-hmm. You know, mm-hmm. This is terrifying. But man, if I can do this, mm-hmm. it's going to be amazing. Mm-hmm. And that's I think the part of the inspiration that I want to give to parents is, no one said this was going to be easy. This was never going to be easy. Having kids is the opposite of easy. Mm-hmm. Getting married, having a family, choosing to do other things, there's nothing easy about it. But on the other side of, you know, I was thinking about, somebody said something along the lines of, how they cherish a certain season with their kids. I think it was like 5-year-olds, like the kindergarten phase. You know, they're going to school. They're not at home as much. They're curious, but they usually listen pretty well. They can get their own snacks. And they're like, that's the best season of life right there. And I was thinking about that. I'm like, why is that the best season of life? Why would they say that? And it just made me think, I think because you're experiencing what feels like compliance and obedience and some level of connection. And then I just was pondering about what if every season we got to have that, you know, every season that the status quo wasn't the terrible twos, you know, the teenage years, you know, the rotten middle school. I mean, what if it wasn't that? What if you had a different vision for it?
Yeah. Well, one of the things that happens in each of those little
segments,
you know, little sections of the race is you hit your leadership ceiling.
Totally.
You know, you hit your leadership ceiling. And so when they go past what you lead well, they expose you as a subpar leader, you know, and you are so frustrated with it. And I think, you know, leading adolescents is, you know, that for a lot of successful people who run businesses and, you know, they run countries and they have these teenagers that are going, no. Like, oh, wow. Well, what would you do if you couldn't fire someone?
Right.
You know, what would you...
you move out. You know, get out of here.
How would you develop your relationship with somebody that you couldn't throw in jail or kick out of your country or whatever, right. You know? Like, woof, this is, you know... Ugh. And then it goes on to adult children. Like, okay, you know, what does it take to keep a connection, to keep a relationship, to be completely different human beings and and really possibly to share nothing but the family. Mm-hmm. You know, how would you lead that? And you're like, okay, well, you would lead yourself primarily is what you would do, which eventually soaks in. Mm-hmm. You know, parents, eventually it soaks in. My job is to lead me. Mm-hmm. My job is to lead me and to build a connection and influence where I can. Mm-hmm. But these people also got to know that I love them.
Yeah.
And I will help them any way I can and whatever help looks like in that space, in that time.
Yeah. I always joke that it feels typically, especially in the younger years, kids change like every 6 months to a year, like they, which is the leadership lid that I think you're talking about, is you get a rhythm and you're happy and content. And all of a sudden, I don't understand why, but that now this isn't working. I'm getting so much pushback. It is like clockwork. Yeah. They just introduce this, you know what? I think I figured you out.
Yeah.
It's time to up the game. But it is, yeah, it is all about, I guess it's that vision piece of I want to keep leading well. And, you know, I tell parents all the time, you're the leaders in your home and it first starts with you. What are you doing to lead yourself? What are you doing to take good care of yourself? What are you doing to grow? What are you doing that is worth following? Mm-hmm. And I think that's definitely an element that we forget as parents. It's a survival game in a lot of homes. Mm-hmm. And I really just want to encourage parents to pivot from this survival stance to really a leadership stance of I'm every decision we're making, every direction we're going, it has purpose and it has vision. I want to lead with love, but to do that, I need to be full of vision because mm-hmm. otherwise I'm reactionary. In so many areas, which is not what we
and,
want.
And I love what you say about that you're the best parent your child could have. You know, that should alert you. You know, that should inspire you. That should encourage you that you are the very best parent this child could ever have. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you screwed up. Yeah, you said that thing you shouldn't have said. Yeah, you didn't follow through on this, that, or that. Welcome to the planet. You know, there aren't any parents that don't have a host of those things that honest parents. Some parents try to cover it all up with their weird insecurities. But, you know, if you're going to be honest, your kid's going to need a sozo. You know, your kid's going to need to forgive you. Sure. It's going to need to forgive you for this or that. And it's true. It just happens. But you are the very best parent for this kid and or for these kids. And that ownership, if you'll own that and quit trying to convince yourself that, you know, somebody else would be a better parent to these kids, because as soon as you you think like that, you start making excuses for not growing, for not changing, for not having that great vision, for exempting yourself out of this role that no one's going to fill this role. You are their parent, whether you disappear on them or you lead them to the finish line. Mm-hmm. You are their parent.
Yeah.
So,
and that's the engaged parenting concept, is engaged, empowering, connected, and boundaries. I think that's the essence of what I'm hoping that you see when it comes to being engaged, is that those are some key elements. Because exactly that, I watch and I've talked to countless parents where as soon as they believe the lie that they're not good enough or they're not the right fit, the one that loses the most is this child that you've been entrusted with. Mm-hmm. And I read a book by, I think, David Paul Tipp, I think that's his name, but it's like 14 Gospel Principles of Parenting. And he coined this phrase that I hadn't heard before, but it made total sense. And I'm like, why haven't I heard it like this? But I don't know, maybe I had. You know, you read one of those books, all of a sudden it sticks. But he talks about being the ambassador of heaven to your kids. Like, you are just you're just standing in a role on earth because they're really the Lord's kids, and that you've been assigned this role, which just brings clarity to, you were chosen. It wasn't an accident, and it was a chosen position that you were given, and really to embrace the mission that you've been commissioned to fulfill. I talk a lot about Nehemiah 4:14 and in our culture creed that we create, and in the last chapter, really just trying to encourage people that there's something so beautifully unique about their family and that only they can fulfill on this earth. So when we say, your kingdom come, your will be done, and knowing the partnership that we have with heaven, we have to understand, well, we've got a family identity, and there's something that the Lord's commissioned each one of us. So when we do our culture creed and people are like, can I take a photo of your culture creed? I'm like, you can, but do not make it yours. Mm-hmm. Because you are not a serple. I only made 3 babies, and there's only going to be another replication of circles coming from that. You know, Lincoln's going to carry on the name. The rest of them are called to something different. So you take a photo of inspiration, but do not copy it, because what you do in that sense is you really minimize the impact that you were called to have. Mm-hmm. And in Nehemiah, he just is reminding us in the story that, you know, we're creating boundaries to protect the things that we care most about, which right now, more than ever, we're having to do. Mm-hmm. You're going to have to say no to all the chaos, all the things that are trying to come in, and you're going to have to know what it is that you're protecting. And he gives them weapons and tools. And that's the season that we're in as families, as we need tools to grow ourselves, to grow our families, and we need to be, you know, equipped with a weapon to protect them from the darkness of this world that's crashing in. So I think, if anything, to encourage you to go and get the book, Imperfect Parenting, Connection Over Perfection, coming out on Mother's Day. I chose that day, actually. I got really emotional about it the other day when we were talking about possibility of it not coming out on that day. Hmm. Because I know that Mother's Day in church is the most attended Sunday. And I know that as a woman, as a wife, and as a mother, there's just a sensitivity and awareness to the home that we carry, you know. Mm-hmm. It's a gift I believe God gave us. It's just this, our tentacles are up and
tentacles.
Antennas, yeah, that's it.
Tentacles. Your octopus.
I was thinking, yeah. I was having a, what does Nemo go in? Nemo goes in that, and what is it?
See, an enemy.
I was thinking about their little tentacles, but it is. They're like antennas and tentacles. But I just think they have, we have this ability to have our feelers up, if you will, to the things that are going on. And we don't always know how to fix it. We don't always know what to do with it. And I think that's where we often get into this freeze state instead of engage in a fight. And I'd say that the season right now is to engage in a fight. Mm-hmm. And so Mother's Day, the book release is really just to give you a tool. I want to give you a tool and a sword in one, mm-hmm. and to go and fight for your family.
Amen.
So that's my heart for this book.
Awesome.
And you should go get it. Because yep. lots of fun stories. If anything, it's just fun stories. You get to know me on a deeper level, guys. That's it. I'm just inviting you into the home front.
Yeah, well, it's full of great stuff, and Mother's Day is the right day. So you want to bless a mother near you. This book is going to be fresh off the print.
Yep, it will. So excited! All right, well, we're going to jump into questions because we told we would, mm-hmm. and it should be fun. We'll see you soon.
Hey, Brittany here. Yes, you normally hear me on The Kylo Show, but I am interrupting The Kylo Show right now to tell you about my book, Imperfect Parenting, Connection Over Perfection, is coming out Mother's Day. So check that out. But before that, I've got a conference happening. I know, at the beginning of May. May's going to be great. So if you want to come to the conference with all of my friends, Seth Dahl, Lauren and Jason Valentin, Danny Silk, all these wonderful people are coming. Make sure you go to imperfectparenting.co to find out the details, and hopefully I see you there.
All right, well, we're going to jump into questions, mm-hmm. which I tried to make sure we found some parenting questions. We don't always get enough parenting questions, guys. So
we're going to get a bunch with this book.
We probably are going to get a bunch. I get a bunch on, I would say, my social channels, but... not so much since the Kylo Show.
Okay.
All right. But the first question that we have comes to us from Rio.
Hello, Danny and Brittany. I've been having struggles with my 8-year-old daughter for some time now. It's like a constant roller coaster. Our relationship and connection is good, but then it downfalls usually because, and I'll admit it, it's my easily frustrated heart. She does do things that trigger me, like not listening the first time is usually what starts our quarrels. I think the main issue is me having a lack of consistency with controlling my outbursts. I always go back and apologize, but I think she's just getting sad about how often I apologize and fail. Again and again and again, usually every day. So my question is, how do I control my freaking self? And how do you guys control yourselves in the midst of feeling disrespected or not heard or overwhelmed? And so, yeah, thank you.
I love that Rio's like tattling on herself a little bit.
Oh, yeah. She called it. She called it.
Yeah, you kind of answered your own question a little bit here. But, I can completely relate to the being easily frustrated and getting angry, which is what it sounds like is happening, and then saying sorry, which I think her daughter's probably experiencing a piece of not really believing her mom and that she just keeps being angry over and over again. Mm. You know, she says she's sad, but she's probably – what can happen is that you don't really believe that you're sorry because mm-hmm. you just keep violating the relationship. But it is a, it is one of those tools that we're talking about, is you have to grow yourself. You have to figure out, you know, okay, well, what's the broken spot in me that gives me permission to be an angry, mean person to my child? What, where did that come from? Why do I just say yes to that? And why do I get to, you know, break connection because I feel like it, because I'm angry, because I'm, because this thing gets triggered in me. So I think that's the real thing, Rio, is you got to figure out what's going on there that you get to be a bully.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. This is, you know, your leadership level is being exposed. And it's time to grow. It's time to own the fact that disrespect is a trigger to your value.
Mm-hmm.
Like, okay, when somebody is anybody, and this isn't just your child, this is anybody in your life, I'm sure it applies across the board. Disrespect is a major trigger for you.
Mm-hmm.
And so you feel safe targeting your child. But I'll bet you a bunch of other relational dynamics around you are severing connections because of your reactions and your attempt to control your value from the outside. When you try to control how acceptable you are, how desirable you are, how valuable you are from the outside, you're trying to control the rain. You know, you're trying to control the weather.
Yeah.
You don't control what's out there. So you had better go to work and do the heart work around, Lord, who do you say I am?
Mm.
And then do I believe that?
Yeah.
So it's there's a kind of a twofold. One is find the truth, and then the other one is believe it.
Mm-hmm.
And now you're going to now live from that place towards the outside.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can use one-liners like, I know, probably so, that could be, I don't know. That really works because you actually believe your disrespect, your willfulness, your outburst doesn't change what's going on inside of me.
Mm-hmm.
But right now it does. And
yeah,
that's a pretty fragile place for a parent to live.
Yeah, I, Delaney was practice child number one, and I don't know how many times Ben and I both apologized to her. We've never parented someone that's 17. We've never parented someone, you know, she she got all of the, you know, all
icebreaker.
The worst. Yeah, all the worst of me, she definitely got just because I was learning. And you know, that stage where tension would rise and I felt like I was hounding her on things. The vision piece of, you know, every time I did let the angry, frustrated, no fun, controlling mom out, and the damage that it caused in our relationship, that's what really became such a huge fuel for me to change, because it was, I looked at her 8-year-old self, and I was working on all this for years and years, but you know, as she grows older and older, she has more and more opinions and this and that. But I remember thinking, if I don't figure out how to be a safe place for her right now, she's never going to let me into her heart when she's 16.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm just going to keep confirming that I am no place to be safe.
Mm-hmm.
And you will, she will not share her life with me. She will live in secret. And I will be constantly begging for access that I got, that I chased away the opportunity.
And she'll be getting advised by other 16-year-olds.
Right. So I remember encountering, you know, just that similar frustration and thinking about a time that is yet to come and what I wanted to preserve and protect in that season. And the same things for Adeline and Lincoln. You know, I think about it. It still comes up. I can easily get angry. But I think about what it is that I'm investing in the season that I think I'm going to need it the most, which is those teen years where they're out in their own boat in the, when the wind and the waters and navigating them to know, okay, I actually want my parents' input. I trust them when they say, I don't think you can handle that storm, or give different input. I want that place of access. And so much of that comes through having a vision for when they're not yet there yet. You're sowing so much of it in the early years.
Yeah. And you're learning and growing to be that parent. Mm-hmm. That's waiting for them when they're 16, but you started working on it when they were 8.
Yeah. I think practical places to grow, Rio, is probably some self-awareness tools and maybe some counseling of what's this big trigger of disrespect.
What are you so afraid of?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So that's where I would be leaning into. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. We have another question that comes to us from April.
Hey, Danny and Brittany. Thanks so much for doing the Kylo Show. I have a question. My family is super involved in church, and I'm starting to get a little bit concerned that my kids are going to burn out or get frustrated that they have to go to church all the time. So I'm just wondering, how do I create the priority in their life for church without them burning out? Thanks so much.
Mm-hmm.
PKs, all the PKs out there. I think it's more about creating a value for God and not as much church, if you can, first. But, I mean, our kids have grown up in church. They go to church all the time. We are involved in church. They're known around there as our kids and your grandkids. So they've got a double whammy of eyes on them. Mm. You know, and I remember Lincoln was, I don't know, 3, 4, and we were going to church all the time when we first moved down here because JC had a church plant, and we were just at every meeting. Mm-hmm. And one day we're getting in the car because we came from Reading, so it's like 7-minute drive to 20-minute drive, and we're like, okay, we're going to go to church. And Lincoln, with the most exhausted, just desperate cry, he said, no more Jesus, Mom.
No more Jesus.
No more Jesus.
Yeah. I think it's because he thought, you know, Jesus culture, his first name was Jesus.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But it was still the, I don't want to go to another meeting.
Totally.
I don't want to go another night out. I don't want to. And I think our kids actually communicate quite a bit with us of their capacity levels. We're just not very good at listening. And, you know, I don't know how many times in this last season when we moved down here, I think Ben and I got a really great viewpoint of our priority, because we came out of the grind of Bethel and we were both working in ministry and all the meetings all the time. And when we came down here, a lot of that went away and we realized, wow, we had consumed ourselves. Mm-hmm. And it was almost like an identity for our family. That is not what I want. And so it's just paying attention to what do you say the priority is. And what is the priority actually manifesting? Mm-hmm. Is it really your family? Is it church? Is it your family? Is it a relationship with the Lord? So I don't know how many times that one of us will go to church or a meeting, the other one won't, because the kids are done. And the other thing for me, I've struggled with, you know, my kids, should they look a certain way in worship? Should they be doing something certain in worship? Because we're pastors. I have learned to put that down so much in this last season because I know the relationship my kids have with the Lord because I ask them about it. Mm-hmm. We have these encounters. We have these deep conversations. So if they're not laying on the floor in church, sobbing or flailing their arms all over the place in worship, I'm not worried about it. Because mm-hmm. I think I used to think that that's, they needed to look like me or do this or something, I don't know. But as long as I know their heart and I get to have really great conversations and I'm not worried about it, then I don't care if they are sitting down worshiping or laying on the floor, sobbing their face off. However it is that they're actually having a relationship with the Lord is what I care about the most.
Yeah, and their relationship with the Lord is happening the rest of the week.
Yeah.
You know, it's not happening that hour under a microscope, you know.
Totally.
Right. The other thing would be, like anything, you know, if you want someone to desire being somewhere, then it's about engagement. Like, where do they engage? And how have I, as a parent, fostered their engagement? Are they artistic? Are they prophetic? Are mm-hmm. they musical? Mm-hmm. Are they academic? Mm-hmm. Are they athletes? You know, where is this child going to engage? Because you can't keep them from that environment. You're like, how are okay. we're a sports family. We're afraid of burning our kids out on sports. Well, you're going to burn out your musician and your artist on sports, but you're not going to burn your athlete out on sports.
Very
you know?
True.
So eventually this experience has to open up to where each of your children find a place of engagement.
Mm-hmm.
And this is back to that leadership growth part. Like, as you grow as a leader, you start to recognize the power struggle is coming from a disengaged place. Like, this child is disengaged there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so no more Jesus. And no more Jesus is not necessarily a general statement as much as it is a need.
Mm-hmm.
Like Lincoln has a need right there. If you just power through it, power struggle with it, eventually he's going to mean no more following you.
Yeah.
Like, ooh, yeah. Yikes, you know? So can we pay attention to the need that your child has? Can we find the place where they engage?
Mm-hmm.
Can we be successful leaders of our children?
Yeah. And that's definitely my heart. I want my kids to love going to church. We went to a conference and the kids didn't really want to go to the night meeting. And I said, Lincoln, I think that there's something there for you. But he listened and he was able to engage with me because he trusts me. He didn't really want to go to that meeting. But I felt like there was just a little bit of a push I needed to give here. And when he came and when we left that meeting, he said, I've never felt so close to God. And I was like, okay, I'm so thankful that there's enough respect and trust in our relationship because I haven't abused it somewhere else.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, we've been walking with him on going to the kids' church because he doesn't love it. And we're like, okay, well, what's the need that you've got there? It doesn't mean that he doesn't get away with not doing it ever, but we are trying to figure out what is it that you need there? What's the problem? What's the breakdown? And we've come, he trusts us. And so we're able to continue to lead him through the things that are uncomfortable, but there's just high value for both of parties in the relationship,
mm-hmm.
which makes us success. So awesome. Well, we're going to jump into our testimony. All right. Well, we're going to jump into our testimony, and today's comes to us from Katie.
Hi, Danny and Brittany. This is Katie from Charlotte, North Carolina. Thanks so much for the Kylo show. I've just been loving the podcast. I've listened to the whole thing, every episode once through, and now I'm caught up to the new episodes, but I've also started going back to the beginning and listening to all the first episodes again. And so I'm on round two. So thank you for all you're doing there. I wanted to thank you for something specific today, but I wanted to preface it with a quick backstory. So my husband and I have three kids, and when our kids were younger, we had a family tradition for a few years where we would go to a movie in the theater on Christmas Day. And the year that the first Frozen movie came out, that was the movie that we went to see as a family. And so we're sitting in the theater and we're sitting on the row, and my family is to the right of me, and to the left of me, these two teenage girls are sitting beside me, and they were about 13 or 14. And so the movie starts, and every time Olaf would come on the screen, which this was everyone's first introduction to Olaf, this girl beside me would start giggling. And she just had the best laugh I'd ever heard. And Olaf was already funny. And then this girl was giggling. And I would start laughing because she was laughing. And it was just the most fun experience in that theater that day. And it just really stuck with me. And after the movie was over, I was just like, I just have to tell you, you have the best laugh I've ever heard. And that just made my day. And so anyway, that was awesome. So fast forward however many years it's been since the first Frozen movie came out and start listening to the Kylo show. And I have to say that the girl in the movie theater has the second best laugh I've ever heard. Brittany, you have the best one. I love, love, love to hear your laugh. It's so cute. But what I love about it the most is you are just delighting in your father when I hear you laugh. And I just love the relationship that you guys have. And not only is it just something that makes people smile, but I just believe it just strikes me every time I hear it, because I believe what you guys are demonstrating is really the basis of your whole podcast, which is the Father's heart for us and how much he just loves us and he's for us and he just wants us to delight in him. And you guys demonstrate that every time you get on the air. And so I just want to say, keep doing what you're doing. Thank you for all your materials. We love you guys from Charlotte. Thanks. Bye.
Well, I wasn't expecting my laugh to be so so much of a testimony. Oh, it's funny because we don't hear these before they air, so it's very much our reaction to them. But you know, I love that we get to put on display. Whole healthy families are going to save the world from mm-hmm. one generation to the next, and I love that Ben gets to be on here and we have the kids on here. So it's we are trying to do exactly what we say we are,
mm-hmm.
To create a culture that is so protected by everybody in the home. And
yeah, it's less that we're trying to do it as much as it's just happening because of the vision, that we've had, and we're just living. It's just us. It's just us being us, and trying to encourage other people to. Right. It's possible to have connected mm-hmm. lifelong relationships. It's really possible. And it's advisable. I highly recommend it.
Yes.
Please go and do ye likewise.
Yeah, that is the goal.
Mm-hmm.
I know our relationship and my relationship with mom and even my brothers. I just think of my kids going, man, I hope that it is that this stays on course, how we've been building. Yeah. And funny story. We were in the hot tub with the kids, and it was just Lincoln and Addie and me, and Ben was running around doing something, piping. I don't know what he was doing from the farm. Lainey was in her room doing homework, and I think it was a holiday that passed on a Monday, so it was middle of the day. We're in the hot tub. Why not? And I was talking about Lainey, graduating high school and going and, pursuing something outside of our family and growing up and leaving and us going to our school retreats. And Lincoln's face just became absolutely filled with sorrow. And I'm like, well, what's going on, buddy? And Addie's trying not to laugh. I'm like, because I think she's a little bit more in tune with what's going to be happening. And he's like, well, no, she can just come with us. I'm like, well, I don't think she can just come with us, buddy. She's going to be in school. She's going to be working, probably not anywhere near here. And he's like, well, I don't know why I want to go. Like, this is, we are this unit. This is what we've always been. And it was kind of funny because after we got out of the hot tub, he went upstairs and gave Lainey a hug. Like, the idea that you're going to go on without us, I just hope that they stay that level of connected through all their adult years, is that they just really enjoy each other. So super fun. Yeah. And thanks for the encouragement, Katie.
Yep.
Yeah. Very sweet.
Awesome.
All right. Well, whole healthy families are going to save the world. And I encourage you to check out Imperfect Parenting, my new book. And I hope it blesses you and encourages you, because it's definitely, that's my heart. We'll see you next time.
Thanks for listening. Never miss an episode of The Kylo Show by subscribing to Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or watch us on the Loving on Purpose YouTube channel. Don't forget to submit your questions and testimonies to thekyloshow.com. The Kylo Show is produced by Ali Armading, co-produced by Ashley Beck and Anna Hill, sound engineer and edited by Taylor Silk, and show promoter Crystal Zamora. Don't forget, whole healthy families, gonna save the world.